going to call to order the West Lafayette Community School Corporation regular meeting, Board of School Trustees. Today is Monday, October 1st, 2018, 6:35 p.m. And I'll look for approval of the agenda for tonight's meeting. Need a motion, please.
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Bittner, second by Mr. Marley. All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, hearing none, that motion carries. Approval of the minutes from September, our last, most recent meeting, September 4th, 2018. The regular meeting of the Board of School Trustees. Need a motion, please.
So moved.
Moved by Mrs. Witt, second by Dr. Springer. Discussion, any changes? Happy for myself, anybody else? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, hearing none, that motion does carry. Communication from the audience, current agenda items. And there is, now I got the form, I have the form, Rocky. You're all, for the first time ever, I'm ahead of you here. And there are no, there's nobody signed up. Does anybody have a last minute
Brad does.
To speak? Okay.
Brad's thinking.
We'll wait till later. Okay, no, nobody signed up. Unfinished business, I have none. New business, we'll start with adoption of education and operation budgets, and Mr. Sloat.
All right, we've gone through all the steps to get to this point where the board would review the budgets and move for adoption if you so desire. So we've advertised according to what's required. And so the summary of the budgets to approve are, and remember, we're combining, got rid of the general fund. We took part of the general fund money, put it in the operations fund. Then we combined that with transportation, bus replacement, and CPF. So that's why these funds look different than it did last year. So we have education fund of $14.425 million, the referendum fund of $7,380,000, the debt fund of $6,015,169, then the combined operations fund of $9,520,000, then the rainy day fund of $1,330,000 for a total of $38,670,169. Those are advertised budgets. I expect there may be some reduction in the operations fund at that time because we advertise high. If you look at that one worksheet I sent out, you know, you've seen what this would be in tax rates. The only thing I can tell you for sure is that the referendum rate will be 37 cents. The other rates we'll control and keep them in, but I expect the tax rate to be overall real similar to what we are this year. So that would be one phase, Alan, for the adoption of those budgets. And then, I mean, you can do all this in one motion. I'll just go on to the other items.
Yeah, let's go ahead and do that.
So then we have a bus replacement plan. It's a 5-year plan instead of 12. That's attached. For 19, we show possibly replacing one bus and one activity bus. The other years we can adjust each year as we get to that point through 23. And then there's several resolutions. We have a resolution for appropriations and tax rates. So the resolution for appropriation tax rates identify the budgets I just named and what the tax levy would be, and a tax rate that is advertised rate, that's not going to be the true rate. And you have a resolution to adopt the bus replacement plan. And then another resolution for transfers, which would allow business office under Rocky's direction to transfer some money between funds. You know, if we'd had excess funds, we could put in the rainy day fund. If we needed money from the rainy day fund, we could transfer to the operations fund and back and forth. That kind of, I mean, we'd let you know what we're doing and have you approve it. It gives us a little leverage when I go to the DLGF to get budget approval to get some flexibility. And then last resolution is to reduce line 1 and 2, which probably don't mean a whole lot, but line 1 on the budget form is the 2019 budget. Line 2 on the budget form is the July to December 18 expenses. So I got to estimate those expenses. If they're too high, I can reduce them to help fund the 19 budget and kind of help manipulate the tax rate to keep it down. But I need flexibility because when I get it back from DLGF, I have 10 days to work on it. And then line A and B, that's a new one. We didn't have this on the other resolution last year. A and B are revenue sources. So since we still don't know for sure some of the revenue sources, this, I can't add revenue, but I could reduce it. So if I have a fund that maybe I've estimated too much additional revenue coming in, but I wanted to keep the tax rate level, I can reduce that revenue down to maintain a level tax rate. So the recommendation is, you know, adopt the budgets, adopt the bus replacement plan, and approve of the four resolutions.
Okay, we need a motion, please.
Move.
Moved by Mrs. Prochnow.
Second.
Second by Mr. Schott. Discussion, please. And we've been dealing with this for three meetings, but is there other questions? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
And opposed? Hearing none, that motion does carry. Thank you, Ross, for all your
Thank
work
you.
On that. Much appreciated, and we'll have a budget for another year, which is a good thing. Academic achievement, IDOE accountability, and / ADM update, and Dr. Killian. This is for information only.
Correct. As you might be aware, the Department of Education has delayed accountability grades, school corporation grades, due to a delay in ISTEP. Imagine that. And so we anticipate that those things will be released November 14th. So more to come on that. ADM, we're right now about 30 students, more than last year, and we're finalizing that over the next few weeks with the Department of Education, but we look like we were around 30 students above last year.
Okay, questions or comments? Matt, thank you for that update. Move on to West Lafayette Schools Education Foundation update. Start with you, Dr. Killian.
Yes, I've asked the foundation to provide the board with an update on the marvelous things that they're doing with the fundraising. And Jill and Brad are here, as well as Lindsay in the back. Just had a great Wall of Pride events Thursday and Friday, so congratulations to the foundation on that. And I'll turn it over to Brad, Jill, and Lindsay.
Okay, so I'm Sue Lassiter. I'm the treasurer. That's okay.
Yeah.
Treasurer of the foundation. And so, as you know, we have a $2 million campaign in progress right now for the James Guy wing. We have pledges to date of $1.3 million with $700,000 already received and in the bank. We have several things in the works. We have an estate gift for $250,000. And we also have class gifts that we expect to raise about $500,000. So we do believe the $2 million goal is certainly achievable. We are currently in talks now of adding the additional projects so that we can get to a different audience for some of the other projects. So we're very hopeful to exceed $2 million and get higher. Any color?
Nope. Sounds. I mean, the only thing probably to add is that the class challenges has been probably our most highest potential, because we have approximately 10 to 12 classes that at least have committed to doing a campaign or starting and getting going, and those probably have potential to even go above that 500 mark, and that's our goal at this time.
So. And Sue and Brad and Lindsay are. They're my best friends anyway. We've been meeting as a group at least once a month for updates on this process, and you know, we've been pleased certainly with the efforts, and yet there's still always work to be done. But I do think there's potential for additional opportunities out there as well.
One of probably the most exciting things is the continued knowledge that people are gaining by just the fact that we're marketing this, and people are like, oh, I didn't even know we were doing something. Or, there's still a lot of that going on. Just recently we sent out, through our software, how many people did we sort out through our software program?
For
100 or some generosity, right?
201.
So 200 people out of that have previously given that have potential to give. So that was a brand new mailing that we just did within the last couple of weeks. So hopefully that some of the stuff is still very fresh, even from the class reunions that we did this summer. A tremendous amount of people that didn't know we were either involved in a campaign, didn't even know we had a foundation working on these kinds of things. So the buzz just keeps growing, and that's probably the most
exciting. I thought it was interesting last week at the Wall of Pride, and to be clear, the Wall of Pride is not a fundraising event, but it is interesting to hear of the number, there are eight honorees, four or five of them were almost in that mode where they weren't even aware that or just begun to be aware of what we're doing for Jim Guy or whatever. So that's a good sign, I think.
I do appreciate Sue and Brad and Lindsay, their work, and the work of the directors. They've really picked up the pace, and Lindsay's getting a couple other, I think, potential donors, large potential donors set up that we can have meetings with them. So I'm encouraged by where we are and how far we come, and I think we can go even further.
Foundation was the gold standard of Indiana education foundations by Bloomerang. So Google up Bloomerang, which is a fundraising. Since they won't toot their horn, we'll
I do have one question. On the class challenges, are they kind of in a block of years, or are they spread out?
They're individual. So we're taking individual classes.
Right, I'm wondering though if participation is within a, is there a certain demographic that's participating, or is it spread
out? Runs from the 60s through the 80s.
Okay.
I think we even have one class in the 90s.
90 and 91.
Okay.
But they are individual. So we've tried to locate a leader in each class and then let them kind of get started with their pledges. So they kind of lead the show by reaching out to their friends and say, hey, I'm pledging this amount of money. How about you? And it just kind of spirals into, we've got one class that's sort of been the leader. And they've actually, the gentleman that is running that class challenge has actually reached out to anyone that we've given him for the next classes and has reached out through email and saying, hey, I'm in charge of my class challenge for the class of 65. How about you guys and how things going for the class of 83, 76, whatever. And said, any questions you have, let me know and I can help you.
Let me ask you about recent graduates. I mean, what was the approach from the foundation to reach out to maybe recent graduates, you know, 2-3 years out of college or out of a high school or out of college?
My recent graduate just got his brochure in today's mail.
Yeah. I was with my daughter this weekend. I said, hey, are you contributing to the foundation? She said, I don't know much about it. So I was just wondering, yeah.
They do get segmented emails and mailings. Go about 7 years post high school graduate, hoping that once they kind of want to be responded to or reached out to, then they'll become a member of our normal database. We do pay per record. We have a max record. We are a little bit over that right now, but it's really expensive to go to the next licensing department. So we're constantly trying to clean up our database, merge records. We're doing this thing, we met with Bloomerang, our database. We're doing this thing where we're creating nothing but households so that when we do have, a lot of our newly graduates still have their parents' addresses. And so we're doing this thing where we're creating nothing but households, and that's gonna eliminate, if you have a family of three and we have your husband and wife and children, that's going to eliminate those 5 records and down to 1, and then hopefully we can in turn get updated addresses for those recent graduates, but we tend to fall low on the totem pole in terms of importance.
That's going
to
be tough.
Updating us, so we are working on it, and that way we can add more.
Yeah, it's a game changer.
And there's also, there's kind of a little bit of a difference too between what we're doing as far as like the campaign mailing. Obviously, recent grads aren't probably our number one. Group to be going after, but for the annual mailing, we need to definitely get them included and get them started into that routine of maybe throwing 10, 25, 50 bucks into the kitty for the annual fund.
Back in our trip to California, that unfortunately Rocky didn't get to participate the whole time, but that was one of the biggest parts of it was this meeting with the class of 65 and getting them. Acquainted with what it was all about as well.
So. That's the reason for some of my mental lapses.
Yeah. There you go.
Any other questions? Yeah.
Thank you guys
thank
very
you.
Much.
Thank
appreciate
you.
It. Thanks
for
so much.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
We get a gold star with the gold standard.
Yeah.
They get a free trip to California.
There you go.
False. Phoenix.
Yeah. There you go. Move on to.
Leaving so soon?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know why they're leaving. Leasing of Happy Hollow and Dr. Killian, go ahead.
In your board packet is a preliminary lease for Happy Hollow. We are in conversations with the city for the city to temporarily put City Hall at Happy Hollow once Margaret gets everybody moved out. We're trying to help her along with that. And it's still a work in progress, and I'm asking the board to preliminarily approve this lease, and then any adjustments authorize Bob Reiling, the school corporation attorney, to make any of the final adjustments.
I need a motion, please.
I'll move it.
Moved by Mr. Marlin. Second by Mr. Bittner. Discussion, please.
Pool's not in it.
Pool's not in it. Not right now.
Good.
Any other questions, please? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
And opposed? Hearing none, that motion carries. Move on to RDP project presentation, and Dr. Killian.
All right, give me just a moment to get all of this set up. And we will get started then. Javon and Alex, this is where I'm going to get to you guys as well. Okay. You never know about technology whether it's going to work or not. So we are working towards moving forward with our vision for the RDP projects. And I'm going to go quickly over the intermediate school, Cumberland, and then we're going to get into specifics of the junior senior high school, talk about financial considerations and recommendations. You've seen this before, but named best school district in the state and third in the nation from niche.com. Our enrollment continues to go up, and as you're aware, with everything going well, thanks to Alex and Jovan and Lefty and Margaret and all the people that are working hard, we're looking at a ribbon cutting ceremony October 10th with a parade and open house, and we have a makeup day October 11th, and Willis opens October 16th, barring any unforeseen circumstances. So big thank you to everybody that has made this happen. 9 weeks ahead of schedule, still under budget, Ross, so that's a good thing. Cumberland Elementary School, where those things are still moving along, and as Lefty mentioned, in exec session, you can see the arches and things going on the west side. And again, great job by Kettle Hut and Alex and Jovan and Lefty keeping that on track, and our hope is to have a ribbon cutting ceremony August 2019. The Aquatic Center, Richard Wax Aquatic Center pool infill has started, and if you go in now to the right, on the right is where they started to do the infill. They now have the styrofoam all put in, and the pool infill completely filled up, ready to go, and they've got some big holes and structures on the left side that these are older pictures. So that's moving along. I'm going to ask Jovan and Alex to give you a scope of project, cost of the project, timeline of the project, funding for the cafeteria kitchen remodel. And you have that in your board packet. Ask them to give you some information about this.
So what you're looking at here are renderings of the kitchen and the cafeteria area. This is the cafeteria area looking towards where the food court will be and where students will be coming out in those, between those two columns there. There's a better view of it. So as students will get their food inside, then they'll be coming out and going into the cafeteria area. The plan shows the upper box there to the left is the kitchen area. The middle box there is where the food court is. Basically, they'll have five
lines.
Yeah, I think five lines of serving there, of multiple, from pastas to burgers to sandwiches to grab-and-go stuff. And then the bottom half is all seating with banquette seating, bar top seating to tables, typical tables and chairs. And then the white box on the right there is the club room, which is where students with activities and clubs can then meet. Yes, thank you. Can meet on during lunch hours and also have meetings.
I have a question. Can you go back? I don't know how impossible it is to go back to this one here.
Yeah.
One of the things I've noticed about kids who don't eat in the cafeteria, I was in the school, is that they are trying to plug devices in. Is there electricity in?
Yes, in the bankhead on the right, and then also we were going to, are we still including those lockers with the, are we still wanting to?
I think we have one that's like for 15.
Yeah, so you can put your phone in a locker, plug it in, charge it, lock it, go get your food, eat, and then come back and pull your phone out. There'll be some spots like that, but then there's some seating I'll show you here in a picture in a couple minutes if you want to go ahead and roll.
I don't know if I got any more.
Oh, okay.
They've got all of it in their pack.
Okay, yeah, I got there. You'll see like a white high bar, and in that will be outlets for kids to pull up and plug in at that point as well. We didn't want to do too many because we felt like that'd be kind of distracting.
Counterproductive. Some of them, though, this is what I observed, is I'm sitting there with computers working together while they try and eat on the floor or wherever, and that was just curious about it. Thank you.
Yeah.
Jovan, did we gain seating then? I don't recall.
Yeah, with, if you count then? If you count the LGI room and the cafeteria, correct me, was it 600?
No, it's not that much.
It's five.
480 or 90 so far.
Yeah.
A little less than 500.
Yeah, right around 500. That's what I was thinking.
That's the increase, or that's the
total. So
what's that increase?
Right now it's 340.
Yeah, 340.
About 340.
If you right now there's three lunch periods and it
two.
Sorry, I keep thinking there's gonna be three. If there's two, if you go to a closed campus sometime in the future, there's still enough seating to accommodate that as well.
Okay. I'll just speak to a little bit on timing, Alex with Kettle Hut. We're going to look to bid the project later this fall. The budget's about $2.8 million with everything, but I think you got the numbers in your board packet. We will go then and award it and then start ordering some of the long lead time equipment. Physical activities will start over spring break next year. So we'll kind of put some tech partitions up, shut the kitchen down, but have the whole server, or have the whole, I guess, the cafeteria seating area. We're meeting with the health department on temporary kitchen, whether we have a trailer outside or we use an existing classroom inside. With some change of menu items. We hope to have that finalized here fairly soon. And once that goes, it should be a mid, I guess, first of March, since your spring break starts then, and then it'll be finished in October. And that's when everything will be open up. We'll have a couple different phases over the summer, and then we'll open it back up. So you'll always have seating options for students during the school year.
Any questions, Alex?
I don't know if it's this or not, but I'm just thinking about this. The backpack program right now is currently serviced out of those offices. Do we have a new location?
There is a room for the backpack program.
There isn't the final. I'm wondering more about the construction phase.
Oh, sorry. There's a room for it. So
okay. Right. I'm more worried about the construction phase. Where do we have some place to place that temporarily while we're working?
We'll have a place for it.
Okay.
Yeah. Any other questions? All right, thanks, guys. I'll bring you back up here shortly. James, our guy education wing, this will be something that we would like to move forward with from a controlled project process, and I'll talk more about that at the end of the presentation. I've asked Jovan and Alex again to give you some preliminary information about timeline, cost of project. You're not approving any plans, you're just hearing what the thoughts are, and we have to go through a controlled project process in order to do the bonding.
Again, so the James R. Guy Wing is an addition on that northeast corner where we're adding a new library at the main level, classrooms on the second level, science rooms on the third level, and then we're also taking the old library and remodeling it to add new classrooms there as well. And that all entails some other science classrooms on the third floor we're going to remodel, and then some other, couple other science areas and some more math areas as well. So we're kind of hitting all over the school, but our main goal is to get as many classrooms as we possibly can with a new library that's very visible from the front and as you enter the building.
And we anticipate it being like a 15-month construction timeline. We could probably start the addition while students are in school without interrupting any operations. But it'd be about 15 months, and we're looking at about $11.7 million.
And part of that remodel is also the new stairwell. So we'll be replacing both stairwells as we phase those in as well.
And stay right there and tell them about the Robert Kelly Performing Arts
Center. Yeah. Right now, the Robert Kelly Performing Arts Center, again, we're glassing in that front where you kind of see all the ramps, creating a small practice area. And it'll include an elevator to get sets and designs and music instruments from the lower parking lot up to the auditorium level, and as well as redoing including a sound booth and some new lighting and new sound system in the auditorium, reworking the auditorium doors as you enter so it's a larger vestibule, so both doors don't open at the same time, so you have a little more steps to get in, so there's not light coming in the auditorium during performances and such. That's pretty much it.
Timeline's about the same. It's about a 15-month project by the time you do the structure on the front and some of the additions in there, and it's about $3.5 to $4 million.
Any questions?
That faces the west, but there won't be any sun issues like late afternoon, early?
That faces east.
Okay.
It's due east, yeah.
Yeah, all right, yeah.
So who washes those windows? Is that Ron washing them?
I started business.
A lot of windows.
Any other questions for Alex and Javon? Thank you, gentlemen, very much. Appreciate that. And thank you guys again for all the work with Willis. So financial considerations. As you're aware, we had a loss of 5% of assessed valuation. This was a surprise to us, but I guess around 3 years ago, there was a mistake made in the plotting of assessed valuations throughout Tippecanoe County, and there was a plot of that TIF district area that was put in our school district's AV, and then without notice, that was corrected, and without Ross knowing, he saw the assessed valuation come in for the 2018 calendar year and noticed the 5%, or was it 17, I think, was it? And he noticed a 5% decrease, $65 million. So that impacts bonding, and then also we have the circuit breaker impact, which went up 52% this year, Ross. So there is a tax rate impact to this, and we have a chart or some assumptions to give you some information in a chart. But what we would be looking at to finish out the James R. Guy Wing, Education Wing, and Robert Kelly Performing Arts Center, we need to look at about a $15 million bond issue. And if we assume a moderate AV growth between 1.5 and 2.9% over the next 20 years, and we use the funds on hand to offset the shortfall, this is somewhat of the tax rate impact that it would have on the debt service. And you can notice right here at the end, it's somewhat of a balloon payment in which 2038, $7 million would be due to pay all of that off. There's a lot that can happen between where we are now and getting to 2038. And so that helps, though, mitigate some of these shortfalls based upon the loss of AV and based upon the circuit breakers. So we do have some cash on hand. We're looking at a Happy Hollow lease of $1.5 million donations. Right now we're aiming at 2.6, and I think that could even be higher. And the surplus from 2017 bonds, if the board will authorize it, $3.2 million. So that gives us $7.3 million to help mitigate that loss in AV and also the circuit breaker. So I'll let Ross speak to the chart that he put together and the impact that this would have on debt service when we get to 2025.
So as you had a chance to review that chart, we kind of used a moderate AV growth to determine what the current tax rate would raise in revenue. And then when you have the column G, it's your circuit breaker offset. So like in column E, you know, that's your gross revenue from property tax, but then it's going to be reduced by circuit breaker. In G, we had Umbal do some analysis, and they got some numbers from policy analytics who work with legislators. They can estimate AV growth, they can estimate impact on the circuit breaker, and that's the numbers that I used in this chart or the spreadsheet. And so what happened is we have to rely on some other revenue sources in order to fund current and future debt payments. So that's why I go to the Happy Hollow lease, column H, and then the excise tax, we get that anyway, that's in I, and then additional donations. You see I got some blanks there, so I tried to to determine, in order to keep the debt coverage even about one, try to spread out some of the donation fund. I mean, we could have the donation money on hand, but, you know, we got to determine when we're going to need it, if we need it to help fund these projects. And then the bond surplus fund would kick in. So with these numbers, we should be able to satisfy the debt payment without a tax rate increase up until about 2024. Now, you know, you got to realize there's some factors could change in there. AV could go up higher. You know, maybe that would extend out before you'd have to raise the tax rate. AV could, you know, become stagnant. I mean, that has an impact on revenue. But I took what the projected numbers were given from policy analytics on that moderate AV growth. So then at some point, I do feel it's going to be necessary to raise the tax rate. You know, we maybe be able to limit it until 2025, when you can see over in the other columns, we've used up our donation money, unless more comes in. We've used up our surplus bond money to cover the deficit. And so if the tax rate goes up, you can see in column G, the circuit breaker goes away. Well, right away, that gives you, go over to column K. Now, once we got a surplus, the 400,000, like, well, that's great. Well, that is great news. Except the problem is that 1,054,000 that you see in G, whatever it would be in 16, it's over on the right-hand side. I think Rocky didn't get that on, didn't copy that, but this circuit breaker money hits our operations fund. So then what we're going to look at is to offset that with, because we have anticipated and feel pretty comfortable with the increase in the AV in our TIF district, which increases the revenue in the referendum fund. And that money then, along with that surplus there, 409, there's another 500,000 over to the right from TIF that will help offset the loss of circuit breaker in our operations fund. So I got a lot of pieces to fit together this puzzle. You know, I feel it's doable. I mean, it's, you know, not, I wouldn't say it's an ideal situation, but it's a doable situation because we got to rely on these other sources to help offset our debt payments. So your only other option is you could say, well, we have a drastic increase in the debt rate to cover all these, to cover the payment, and then you don't need these miscellaneous revenue sources, but I don't think that's a practical solution at this point. So, so with the $15 million bond, talked to Kurt Pletcher today. I mean, remember we talked about that big balloon payment at the end? I mean, I don't really like that either, but we're trying to make it doable for 10 years. Options on that, you can, you know, we can adjust some of the amortization once we get further down there before we sell the bonds. We can make some adjustments. We probably, another possibility is in down the road, depending what rates do, you may refinance that bond and, you know, you may extend out that maturity. I mean, it's going to cost you an interest, but I mean, that's doable. If we see significant growth in our referendum and TIF money over there, we could accumulate enough cash probably to pay that lump sum off too. I mean, that's still another option. So I think you're fortunate and we have options to look at. I mean, that if we didn't have these other sources of revenue, I would say it'd be a little different situation, but I feel pretty comfortable with, you know, if those donations come through, that's going to be key, you know, and get the promise, you know, that people follow through on those promises.
Over there in K, you got a shortfall, $663,000. Did we fund that with reserves?
Yeah.
We have cash on hand?
Yeah, that one, when it come out, I know I got a deficit there. So what I was thinking, you know, one, I could fund it with reserves and referendum fund.
Yeah.
I could cover it with the rainy day fund, got $1.3 million in there. And maybe the donations are coming higher. So I had those three sources I was thinking to cover that.
Okay.
Any other questions for Ross? So this leads to debt service impact and ideas. The impact will occur, we believe, in 2025 without additional revenue. In 2024, when the referendum, general fund referendum needs renewed, We can have discussions about what that rate question would look like, and having a discussion about having a higher referendum question if necessary. We continue fundraising efforts over the next few years to mitigate the impact. So I have some options that the board has, in my opinion, and there might be others that you've thought about. You could do a referendum question May 2019. The problem with doing a referendum question, you would have to use the entire impact question, and you don't have any flexibility in what the question is. So the impact is 52 cents per $100 assessed valuation based upon that balloon payment in 2038. So the question would be, do you approve a 52 cent rate increase, although it's not a 52 cent rate increase, but by law you would have to state it that way. I think that's problematic. You could do a control project, which we have to keep it under 15 million, and we could do in December, January, or early 2019, the hearings on that. You also could do a grand pause on all future projects. Just don't do anything and wait for the assessed valuation to go up. But as Alex and Jovan reminds us, that every year you wait, your construction costs go up 6 to 8%. So you keep getting further behind. We use additional funding sources to offset the tax rate increase short and long term, and additional fundraising to assist. So those are the different ideas that we come up with. Here's, I think, the overall view of the situation. Due to a loss of 5% of the assessed valuation circuit breaker, we believe that there will be an impact to the debt service tax rate of 5 to 6 cents in 2025. We could have a conversation about a higher referendum question in 2024. Additional TIF AV will help us mitigate some of that. As that TIF district AV goes up, that 37 cent rate in the referendum will help us generate additional revenue. We could use additional fundraising to offset the tax rate impact, and of course leasing of Happy Hollow to offset the tax rate. And that's not only with City Hall, but there might be other opportunities after City Hall. So I have some recommendations for you based upon everything that I've studied on this for many, 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 many months. I want to thank Bob, I want to thank Ross, I want to thank our board officers, I want to thank Jane Hernan, Kurt Fletcher, Umball, Ice Miller, thank KJG, Jovan, and Kettle Hut with Alex. I want to thank our administrative staff and Lefty and Ron. Everyone has been working hard on this. Based upon all that information, these are my recommendations for your consideration. I ask that you consider approving the plans for the cafeteria kitchen remodel that you heard tonight. I ask that you consider allowing the administration to move forward with the James R. Guy Education Wing and the Robert Kelly Performing Arts Center. I ask that you approve us moving forward with using the controlled project process, using two hearings and bonds. That you authorize the administration to look at all revenue sources to help mitigate any tax rate through 2024. We're also going to constantly monitor the TIF and school district AVs, and if there's any adjustments necessary, Ross and I will bring those to you right away. Authorize us to use the time allotted to raise additional revenue, and if necessary, we will have a discussion about a higher referendum rate question in 2024, or slightly increase the debt service tax rate in 2025. So those are my recommendations and considerations, and I'm willing to take questions and comments at this point.
More for Ross with the State Street project. What do you think revenue from that? You know, those.
That revenue flows over in the referendum fund. Mm-hmm. So the numbers we got from their financial advisor showed about 100 of the current projects under construction. Now they don't put them on the AV until they're done, I guess, to use the income approach, not just partial completion approach. So they gotta be ready to rent,
right,
to get the AV to add on the tax rolls. So he said that come on about 145 million. So on that 37 cents, that raised about 536,000 above what we're getting now in the referendum fund. So as part of my calculation,
it's already offset.
Okay. That,
okay. Thanks.
That well, to help offset the circuit breaker if we raise the debt rate or to offset the payments.
Right.
So that was, I mean, that's a good thing. And that's only, as I understand, the project turned under construction. I think there's more planned.
Yeah.
So that could be higher, but I hate to, you know, I don't know what it'll be.
It'll be good for us.
Yeah.
And I also want to thank Ross. I mean, he's worked so hard on this and put a lot of time and effort. So double thank yous to Ross and also Bob working with the city.
Any other questions? Okay, we need a motion then for the to approve the superintendent's recommendations.
That would be fine.
Okay, need a motion, please.
I'll move it.
Moved by Mrs. Witt, second by Dr. Springer. Additional questions? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? A hearing on that motion does carry. Good.
Thank you all, everyone. Appreciate it.
It's monumental, actually. Common.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Common School Fund, Dr. Killian.
Yes, we have received our next Common School Fund application request, $71,000. Asking for your approval of that, plus permission to proceed with continued requests from the Common School Fund process as they become available.
Motion, please. Moved by Mrs. Procknow, second by Mr. Schott. Discussion or questions?
And initially, we were going to make a recommendation that we would no longer make application for this, but Ross and I talked a little bit more. We believe it's paramount that we continue this process to give us the money that we need for technology.
Okay. All in favor of the motion? Any other questions or comments? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Ooh. Opposed? Hearing none.
That, like.
That motion does carry. Thank you. Out of state field trips, high school German class to Chicago on December the 4th to, I think it's the only one that's on there for right now. Need a motion, please?
So
moved by Dr. Springer.
Second.
Second by Mrs. Procknow. Discussion, please. Good time to go. All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
And opposed? Hearing none, that tradition will continue going up to that event, or to that to Chicago. Personnel report, Rocky, anything from your end?
Make the recommendation, everything listed, be considered for your approval.
Okay, need a motion, please.
So moved.
So moved by Mr. Schott.
Second.
Second by Mr. Marley. Discussion. Questions. We've had this in advance. All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
And opposed? Hearing none, that motion does carry. Accounts payable and Mr. Sloat.
Here we have a total of $4,264,871.79. Includes our two payrolls, our claims, WeBet claims, construction projects, employee reimbursements. Just a couple items under general fund, that workers' comp, that $20,000 is a payment for our workers' comp to the insurance company for a quarterly payment. And then you see the pay in Dilden, $16,000. We had lightning strike the well pump out at the athletic field. Again, that we've had problems out there. I met with Kelly Kitchell today. We're talking about our insurance renewal. And I'm going to turn this into insurance. They can pay. He said, well, he wasn't worried about that. He just worried about being out there playing when they're like,
yeah.
He wasn't worried about the well. But
it's crazy.
Those are other things, common school loan, just some other, you know, repairs and things like that. So I'd recommend approval.
Okay. Need a motion, please.
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Marley.
Second.
Second by Mrs. Procknow. Discussion, please. Any questions? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
And opposed? Hearing none, that motion does carry. Information of the board from me, I have nothing additional at this time. Board superintendent reports, we'll go around the room. And Mr. Marley, you are up.
We have an insurance committee meeting tomorrow, don't we? Mm-hmm. So I don't have anything to report other than this meeting.
Tom?
Foundation met the 13th, but you heard all the news from them, so.
Okay. Thank you.
Public School Foundation closed their grant cycle. The cupcake run was held on September 23rd, and they had a record turnout of about 1,300 between the volunteers and the participants. Mm-hmm. They had great weather.
That's good.
There's great photos on Public School on their Facebook page if you want to check them out. Community Council had a really good turnout with the new format. And forgive me, this is long. Lindsay gave an update on the Education Foundation. Angela Harrell gave an update on Happy Hollow. Parent Council coordinated with Mrs. Murtaugh to present kids' social emotional needs. She did a survey data and she presented that to the parents. She was also looking for new funding for a new counseling program that has been subsequently funded. Lots of field trips in the works to the new building. Teachers are packing and preparing students for the transition. The parent council is working with the staff on a pajama party to allow the teachers to go up and set up classrooms during the day. There's a community effort underway to provide food and drinks for the staff during the opening week. Target. Things are off to a great start at Cumberland. Lots of questions from parents regarding construction, but things have been going seamlessly as possible, and the workers have done an excellent job of minimizing interruptions to the school day.
Way to go, Amber.
Yes. Cumberland Parent Council is gearing up for their opt-out fundraiser. They're at $5,400 of their $7,500 goal. They brought lunch in the first day to teachers, the first day the school was open when they were setting up their classrooms. They also gave up startup funds to all the teachers, along with room service snacks and drinks, where they took orders and delivered them to the classrooms. Mm. And their book fair had a great turnout. Mr. Schreiner said the pickup and drop-off is going better than expected, and everyone is making the best of the tight parking situation. And Mike Piggott is looking for a new representative for his monthly group. The group focuses on what is happening on campus, offers networking opportunities, often includes campus tours, construction planning updates, and keeps the community informed about what is happening on campus.
Okay, thank you.
Teacher discussion met on the 13th. Rocky will give that update. That's all I've got.
Met Redevelopment Commission.
And did you get us any money?
Mm-hmm.
Did you get us any money?
They are replacing their Dodge 4x4s with Fords.
Dodge Chargers
with Ford, yeah. Mm.
The police cars?
Yeah,
police cars. Thank you.
Are they on a Ford? Ford.
Really?
More reliable. Less costly.
It's the SUVs. All-wheel drive.
They replaced the ladder on fire truck number 4. They did a little tour of it. It's pretty cool.
I drove it.
You drove it.
I'm on the committee. So.
You can always say, well, there's a lot of good stuff here.
Every single word.
Yeah. And they are moving forward with, obviously, the Aquatic Center on the west side there and redoing their corporate offices. So hopefully we can work it out where we can help them out to move over to Cumberland. And great partnership.
So from the Parks Board, the naturalization ceremony for Global Fest was held on Friday, September 14th, and we had 93 individuals from over 20 countries who received their new citizenship. And then Global Fest was held the next day, the 15th, from noon to 10 p.m., and we had over 6,000 people in attendance for that. Art on the Wabash was held at Tapawindo Park just last Sunday from 10 to 4. The turnout was a great day, and the turnout was good for that. I attended a meeting for the Morris Schoolhouse today, and that's fascinating to watch, to see the construction that's happened at that site. This is going to be the kind of the focal point for the new Kaysen Park on Cumberland Avenue, near US 231, and a lot of volunteer work is going into the remodeling of that currently, and a construction architect design firm has been hired for Kaysen Park, and we'll be initiating those meetings to design that park soon.
Okay, Rocky.
Teacher discussion met September 13th. We talked about Title I and replacing STAR assessment with NWEA assessments. Special education resources came up, and we talked about how that's determined in special education, teacher placement, etc., and the number of teachers. Construction updates. I talked a little bit about the business office and the desire for one of our colleagues to retire and go part-time, so we're looking for a, a full-time person to help us in the business office. Talked about the I-STEP IDOE accountability and preliminary ADM account. Okay. Also, I was at Gigi's picking up cupcakes for my wife's birthday today, and Gigi's found heard about our ribbon cutting, and they're going to donate cupcakes for the.
Oh, Emily is an advocate for public schools,
yeah.
So yes.
So they're donating cupcakes. Yeah, so it was worth my while figuring out where Gigi's was located.
Where is Gigi's?
Yeah. Emily is actually on the Public School Foundation of Tampa.
Behind Sonic. I thought it was over. Ah. I was just milling around shopping for the board meeting food tonight and go over to get my Gigi cupcakes for my wife, and then I realized that it's not in West Lafayette.
No, it's not.
Yes, big sir. Breakfast for Brad. I forgot I should have mentioned
yeah.
that.
Well, we will be doing, yes, at 7 o'clock on Friday, October 12th. And I don't have a lot else to add, but we want, with respect to the future meetings, ribbon cutting's on Wednesday the 10th.
Right. Parade will start at 3:30. We line up at 3. I better get sequential here, Ross. Parade's at 3, 3:30. The parade kicks off. 4 o'clock, the ribbon cutting ceremony, then open house through 6 p.m. And we'll have several special events during that 4 to 6 time frame. April, Lindsay, and the entire central office staff are working on it. And we got really big scissors, if you didn't see them, in April's office.
Then the Big Brothers Big Sisters breakfast at 7 o'clock. Do you still
October
have?
October 12th.
What?
We got room, right?
Yes.
You know how many we get? If you're interested, we have a table.
Recognize Brad Cohen for all his efforts with the youth and Tippecanoe County.
So if anyone's interested, we do have a table and eight at the table.
Eight?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah.
5 spaces available.
So we have 5 spaces available. If anyone's interested, just let April know.
You're done by about 8:15 or 8:30.
Yeah.
So it doesn't,
yeah.
7 a.m. It's fall break, of course, so if you're traveling.
Okay, great. And also the Monday, November 5th, we'll be at it again with the regular board meeting at 6:30 p.m.
And I will get to you a calendar of bond process timelines. Check your dates, the dates I gave you, and just let me know if there's time you're traveling at the end of this calendar year, beginning of the calendar year.
I'm just
going to.
Can you hold that thought a minute?
Oh, if you're interested in going in SBA, let April know as well so that we can be ready to sign everyone up and get those rooms.
And then the ISBA regional meeting is that
November 5th.
So are we going to start our meeting early?
You guys want to start early on November 5th so you can make it to the trails? You want to do that?
Can you do that at 5 o'clock?
Can you do 5? We can make it a pretty short meeting. I can even make it a consent agenda, and you guys just head for your. I know how much you like that.
All right.
Want to aim for 5?
It's okay.
Does that work?
That's fine.
November 5th? And then we'll go ahead and register everybody for the trails.
Okay, sounds good.
Thanks, Karen.
Thank you, Karen. I need a motion for adjournment, please.
So moved.
Moved by Mrs. Wood, second by Mr. Marley. All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, hearing none, that motion carries.
Thanks, everyone. Look, we lost all but 3 in the audience.